الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, once again we are in the month of Ramadan, which is a great ni'mat and a great blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sometimes we are used to making shukr of certain ni'mats of Allah ta'ala, which we consider as ni'mats. Many of course do not even make shukr over those ni'mats, but those people who have got some attachment to the masjid, those who have got some attachment with deen, those who have got some attachment with the Quran and Sunnah, then generally they consider certain bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as ni'mats and make shukr over it. For example, food. We say we must make shukr. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us food to eat. We drink water. We say we must make shukr of Allah ta'ala that He provided us with water. Or sometimes make shukr over our clothes and our homes and shelter that Allah Ta'ala has provided. And many people, when they buy a new car or they buy a good mode of transport, then they say, shukr of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gave me a nice mode of transport. Indeed, all these ni'mats are ni'mats, and we should be making shukr over them. As believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and believing that we are His creation, and that our life and everything that we have belongs to Him, so we make shukr over these ni'mats, which is a very good sign that at least the person has got this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he is making shukr over his ni'mats that he has been blessed with. But when it comes to the spiritual ni'mats, then unfortunately we become very negligent in making shukr over the spiritual ni'mats. One of the greatest ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with is Islam. But how many times a day do we really make shukr over this great ni'mat of Islam? The ni'mat of Islam, without which there is no entry into Jannah. The ni'mat of Iman, without which there is no entry into Jannah. The ni'mat of Islam and Iman, without which there is no acceptance of Hajj, there is no acceptance of fasting, there is no acceptance of zakat, of prayers. If the person has got no Iman and no Islam, there are lots of people who, for dieting purposes, they stay away from food and drink. They fast more than us. But we will not call that fast. There will be no acceptance of that. It will be good for the body, for the physical body. But when it comes to the spiritual side, there is nothing, because there is no Iman and Islam. So this Iman and Islam, which is such a great gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, without which there is no acceptance of any ibadat. But how much shukr do we make over this Iman and Islam? What I mean by shukr is that truly deep-hearted shukr. One is just lip service, shukr Allah. I'm talking about deep-hearted, that how much do we seclude ourselves? And then we say, Ya Allah, if it had not been for your ni'mat of Islam and Iman which you blessed us with, we do not know in which church we would have been ringing bells. We do not know before which idol we too should have been folding our hands and standing. We do not know in which jungle we would have been lost. Because we must not think that it would have been our intelligence that would have brought us to Islam and Iman. Intelligence itself does not bring a person to Islam and Iman. Until that person himself is interested in Hidayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not thrust it down his throat. There are many, many so-called intelligent people in the world. The majority of the presidents of the countries of the world, the majority, in fact 99%, if you have to look at the presidents of the countries of the European world, if you have to look at the cabinet ministers, if you have to look at the parliament members, if you have to look at the so-called intellectual people, how many of them really came to Islam? because of that so-called intelligence of theirs. In fact, we feel ashamed to mention, but it is for purposes of understanding, that when Morarji was the Prime Minister of India, then he went on television in America or in England, and he announced, he says that, "I drink my own urine." He calls it water of life. This is what intelligence does sometimes. So that intelligence which is not tabe, which is not subjected to Quran and Sunnah, it is not intelligence, but it is jahalat, it is ignorance. So we too should not think that if we were not born in Muslim homes, then our intelligence would have made us accept Islam. We do not know in which jungle we would have been devoured by some ideology. There are so many ideologies in the jungle that we do not know which one would have devoured us. So we must make shukr of this ni'mat of Islam and Iman, which is a spiritual ni'mat. It is such a great ni'mat. If we look at the dua after eating, which we always make, or some of us make, Alhamdulillah allazi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana minal muslimin. In this dua, we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or we are glorifying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are praising Him, we are saying all praise is due to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He who gave us to eat, He who gave us to drink. Now this is something that's understandable, that we just had a meal, we just ate something, so we are making shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala over that which we ate, over that which we drank. But immediately after that, وَجَعَلَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and He made us of those who are Muslims, those who have submitted their will and their desire to Him. We are making shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala over this ni'mat of Islam, together with eating and drinking. Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi says, look at Allah ta'ala's ihsan upon us, that knowing the weakness of the believers, knowing the weakness of man, that we are bound to forget this great ni'mat of Islam and Iman. We will take it for granted that we are Muslims. We will take it for granted that we are mu'mins. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, in the dua after meals, He has got this shukr of this ni'mat of Islam, that Allah ta'ala, it is our gratitude we are showing to Him, that He made us Muslims. And the wisdom behind this is that we will forget other things, but we don't forget to eat. We forget many other things. But when hunger comes and when thirst arises, then we don't forget to eat and drink. And especially people in our country, the majority who are affluent, and in other countries also where there's plenty of people who are affluent, then there they eat half a dozen times a day. Every now and again we are eating something. So when we are going to be eating something or the other every now and again, then if we are going to read this dua every time, then we'll be making shukr also over this ni'mat of Islam. Because we are bound to make shukr over that eating and drinking, but we are bound to forget this great ni'mat of Islam. So what I am trying to get across, which just came to my mind, I was trying to speak on something else, but whatever Allah Ta'ala puts, it is beneficial for me or for you. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan of Islam and Iman upon us, we neglect to make shukr over it. So we make shukr over some ni'mats, which we consider as ni'mats, food and drink, but when it comes to these ni'mats like the month of Ramadan, this fasting in the month of Ramadan, we do not make sufficient shukr over this ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's a spiritual ni'mat. It's a blessing of Allah Ta'ala. It's a bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they really appreciated and valued this holy month of Ramadan. It increased, their ibadat increased in this month. Their sacrifices for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's deen increased in this month. Their charities increased in this month. Their generosity and kindness increased in this month, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had instructed them. Because they could see, they could feel the difference from the other months. In the month of Ramadan, they could feel the difference. And any person who has got a little bit of light in his heart of Iman and Islam, then that person will see the difference. Look at our masajid in the month of Ramadan. How much of effort is required to make it to the masjid for Fajr Salat? We do not require that much effort as we would require in other months. To restrain ourselves from food and drink from dawn till sunset, it's not an easy thing. Try it out in other months of the year, even the shorter, when there are shorter days, still we will find it difficult to make that niyat of fasting. But in the month of Ramadan, although the day could be of 20 hours or 18 hours, but those people who are believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will make the niyat and they will fast. So there is some ruhaniyat and nuraniyat that even people with weak iman can see in this month. And of course, as I have already given that example, I think 120 times, that a person when he is fasting, the person who is fasting, if he is told 2 minutes before sunset that open your fast, you have already observed the fast for 16 hours, 18 hours, 20 hours, open your fast. That person is not going to open the fast, he will say it is the hukam of Allah that I must open my fast only after sunset. It is the hukam of Allah, that is the word, hukam of Allah, it's the order of Allah. It's a command of Allah, it's an injunction of Allah. He is my Allah, He is my creator. I am His subject, I am His slave, I am His ghulam. And it is not appropriate and right of me to disobey my Allah. That is what that person with the weakest iman will also say, if we have to tell that person to open his fast 2 minutes before sunset. Why is the punishment so severe? Why is the punishment so severe for those people who break their fast without any valid reason? In the month of Ramadan, if the person breaks his fast without a valid reason, other months of the year, if you break one fast, then you must keep one fast as qaza. Other days of the year, if a person broke his fast, he drank water, he ate food, then he must keep one qaza. But if he has to, 2 minutes before sunset, 2 minutes before sunset, the person saw very cold water on a hot day, or lovely cold juice, or that person was, he saw some other delicacies on the dastarkhan, and now he couldn't resist, and he says that another 2 minutes, what difference does it make? So if this person has to eat or drink something, then he will have to keep 60 fasts, and consecutive also, one after the other. Now if a person would say that, na'uzu billah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala seems to be very unjust, na'uzu billah, I said, that is not what Allah ta'ala is. Allah ta'ala is very just and He is very fair. So what is this punishment for? That the person opened his fast just 2 minutes, or he broke his fast purposely without valid reason, just 2 minutes before sunset. Why is he being made to fast 60 fasts? The reason for that is that this month was a very auspicious month, a very precious month. It was a great gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was a great bounty and a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. And it was the hukam of Allah ta'ala that in this month you must fast till sunset. So this punishment is for that breaking of that hukam of Allah ta'ala. That is the punishment for, that this person broke that hukam of Allah ta'ala, therefore time to keep 60 fasts now. We get in every Ramadan without fail, we will get a few calls where a person will say, a friend of mine, he couldn't resist the temptation and he committed zina. It will always be his friend. So what is the fidya for that? They will say fidya, whereas it is supposed to be kafara. Every Ramadan without fail, without exaggeration, if the person is breaking that kind of hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, then he deserves severe punishment too. We are paying fines for every little thing, we are paying fines. There our mind doesn't go on to that what is this fine for every little thing. Small traffic violation, fine. You park somewhere wrongly, fine. In the loading zone you put your car, fine. You don't have the proper license, fine. You don't have this, fine. Every little thing there's fines. And we pay through our noses all the fines. Taxes for everything we keep on paying. But if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to impose some punishment upon a severe crime, which is severe crime in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we will say that it is very severe punishment. There should not be any such thing as even discussion of azab of Jahannam and azab of Qabr and azab in the Akhirat. There is no doubt Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not want us to go into Jahannam. If He wanted His makhluk and His creation to end up in the fire of hell, then what was the need to say that in this month of Ramadan your du'as are accepted? Allah Ta'ala forgives your sins if you sincerely pray in this month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat descends in this month. Allah Ta'ala sends down His mercy. Allah Ta'ala sends down His angels of rahmat in this month to say Ameen on your du'as. Allah Ta'ala Himself proclaims, is there anybody who is seeking forgiveness that I may give him forgiveness? Is there any person who is seeking risk and sustenance, that I may bless him with risk and sustenance. Why does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have to do all these things if his desire was to put everybody into the fire of hell? Allah ta'ala wants us to end up in paradise, in Jannat, and enjoy the ni'mats of Jannat. And not only enjoy the ni'mats of Jannat in the Akhirat, but believe me that if we are going to obey the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we will get an immediate reward, and that is Jannat in this world. Jannatun fid dunya wa jannatun fil uqba. There's one Jannat in this world, and that is Allah ta'ala immediately gives that person sukoon in his heart. Mana ke meer gulshan e jannat to dur hai, arif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased, then he will give us gardens of Jannat in our hearts. He will give us gardens in our heart. So that person who is going to fulfill the hukam of Allah ta'ala, in the akhirat he will get, but even in this world he will get. So if Allah ta'ala had desired that everybody end up in the fire of hell, then there would have been no need to tell us that your du'as are accepted at the time of iftar, that your du'as are accepted at the time of tahajjud, that when you recite the Quran Sharif your sins are forgiven, that when you make ibadat, zikr and tilawat, your sins are forgiven. All these things are there so that we may end up in paradise, end up in the heavens. But of course, one of the major reasons why we do not seem to sense that ruhaniyat and spirituality in our hearts, even though we fast the whole day, is because of our indulgence in sins, and because of our indulgence in haram, and because of the sustenance with which we feed our bodies not being halal. This is something that we have to be very, very particular about. Therefore, you will find that with the ayats of fasting, with all the ayats of fasting, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about halal and haram, about devouring people's properties and orphans' wealth and all other things which come under the category of haram, taking away the inheritance of others, not paying back what is due to others. All those things, if a person has indulged in that kind of earning, which is through gambling, or which is through the sale of liquor, or which is through the taking of interest. Now those kind of things we take, we feed our families, we feed ourselves, and then we raise our hands and we make Allah, Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, how can I accept your dua when the food that you are eating is of haram, when the clothes you are wearing is haram, the transport of yours is haram, everything is haram, then how can Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept those duas? So this is the month in which we must make sincere tawbah from all those sins and from all those haram earnings that we may have indulged in. And then if it means repaying and asking those people for forgiveness, whatever it may mean, but the person must take the himmah, take the courage and return that which is due of others. And if it is interest that the person had taken on the loans which he had given, even if it runs into hundreds of thousands, but the person must start making the attempt to start paying back those people. A person once from another country from across our borders, he happened to be here and I was not even aware of it, and I was giving a whole majlis on this same halal haram. And when he went back after 2 or 3 years, he came back and then he met me and he says that, Maulana, you will not know me, but I was present at one certain particular majlis of yours, and the way it hit my heart, he says, I went back and I started searching through the list how many people I had taken interest from. He was one of the biggest money lenders in that country. And he says it meant my selling up large number of my properties. I was left with just one small business. And he says, Maulana, I can take qasam and tell you that that one business after that gave me so much of barakat in 1 year that it's unbelievable. And when I started refunding these people their monies which I had taken as interest, he says those people couldn't believe their eyes that the man who was sucking our blood, today he is returning our money. And they also start giving me du'as. That is what we mean by sincere tawbah. It takes an effort. The person will lose something first, but after losing you start gaining. First something goes. Many a times it happens that a person makes sincere tawbah and suddenly he finds his business is now sliding. Now we get frightened and we get worried that what is happening here. But what is really happening is that it's a detoxification process. We all hear of detoxification, that we must detoxify our bodies, too much of toxins. So this is also the same thing. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala detoxifies us. He gets rid of all the haram which has come. But after that, see how much of halal Allah ta'ala provides. Because if a person takes haram, if he takes a handful of haram seeds, he stole from somewhere some seeds, and it was haram, and he plants it into the ground, and after that crop grows from there, and then it is flour that he crushes it, the wheat, and makes flour out of it. And thereafter he calls the most pious person of the country and the world. He tells that person that read 150,000 times Yasin Sharif Khatam on this. So that person reads 150,000 Yasin Khatams on that flower. And then he gets the most pious woman of the world to knead the dough and to make the roti. And thereafter he himself, and of course that person, he takes that food and goes to Kaaba Sharif. And he sits front of the Baytullah. And there he reads another 100,000 Yasins and blows on that food. And then he eats. Believe me, that food will still create inside his heart tremendous amount of havoc. The thoughts that will arise in his heart will be nothing but of evil. He wants to still commit zina. He wants to go towards stealing. He wants to go towards gambling. He wants to watch all the filth. He wants to read the filthy novels. This is what will be created in his heart. That is the byproduct. Or that is the reaction of that food which has gone into his body and into his system, which was of haram. Even though he may have recited the 150,000 Yasin Khatams and made dua front of the Haram Sharif, and the most pious woman cooked that food. So how much careful we must be. Accidental sins make plenty of tawbah, but purposely a person ending up in casinos and vice dens, and after that taking that and providing for the family, it is not the sign of a Muslim and a believer. How many times we get calls from women who are changing their lives. They say, Maulana, we don't know what to do. My husband keeps ending up in the casino. And he brings that money and he gives it to us. Where do we go? I have no father, I have no mother. I'm not a working woman. What do I do? Now what do we tell them? Starve to death. What else can we tell them? But eat it, make tawbah and istighfar. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. But keep trying to advise your husband. So why buy Jahannam for ourselves and for our children and for our families? If we want to go to Jahannam, why take everybody with? So this fasting in the month of Ramadan, this is what it is for. That we are restraining ourselves from halal. Food and drink which is halal, we are restraining ourselves. Therefore we must always ask a question. If somebody has to ask us, then we say, I am a Muslim. He say, who are you? He say, I am a Muslim. But then we must ask ourselves another question, am I a Muslim? If somebody asks us, we say in this month of Ramadan, we say I am fasting. Then we must also ask ourselves the question, am I fasting? Because we could be just staying away from food and drink. And Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعْ طُعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That the person who does not give up lies and acting according to in accordance with it, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of him just giving up his food and drink. So this is a training period. It's a month of training. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes it easy for us. He chains the evil shayateen. It's just a question of changing our habits after that. Therefore in this month, the less socializing we do, the better it will be for us. There is no doubt we have to go out for our activities. Some people have to go to the businesses and other places of work. But curtail that as much as possible. To whatever extent we can curtail and reduce. And again, believe me, Allah Ta'ala is not bound by time limits. That if you work 20 hours, then I will give you so much. If you work 16 hours, then I will give you so much. If a person has got this yaqeen and this faith in him, that even if I work for 6 hours, where normally I used to work for 8 hours, but if I work for 6 hours, and thereafter I spend my time in ibadat, zikr, tilawat in this month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala will provide me with exactly the same sustenance that was destined for me. Try it out and see. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala will make us work and work and work. Because it is the month of December, and it is what we may term as the month in which a person must make it. He must make it. In his business he says in this month he must make it. If he didn't make it in this month, then he's at a loss. So it is coincidental, but nothing is coincidental. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system, it is all according to his will. That he made Ramadan and the business month both together. To see that how much of ta'alluq we have got with him. Do we believe that our businesses sustain us, or do we believe that Allah is the one who is sustaining us? If we believe that our businesses are sustaining us, then we will forgo our Zohar Salat, we will forgo our Asr Salat day, and thereafter we will come and make our Zohar, Asr, everything 3 minutes before Maghrib Salat in the masjid. And we will also not make it secretly somewhere. In front of all the public, we will find the masjid to make the qaza of the Zohar and of the Asr, or which is almost qaza, just before time. What kind of taluk are we showing with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So in this blessed month of Ramadan, this is what we have to ask ourselves, that am I fasting? Because if I am fasting, then my tongue must be also fasting. My eyes must be fasting. My ears must be fasting. My hands must be fasting. My feet must be fasting. My heart and mind must be fasting. These things must not take us towards haram. And the best month for that is the month of Ramadan, to come into line and then see what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will afterwards give us. There is a reality, there is a haqiqat when we talk about sweetness of Iman. So many times I have mentioned that if you have to tell a person that in bamboo stick there is sweetness, then that person will say, you've gone off your head. What kind of sweetness can you have in bamboo stick? Bamboo sticks, who ever saw sweetness in bamboo stick? But if you look at sugar cane, what is sugar cane? Nothing but bamboo stick. So who is it that has put sweetness into wood? Who is it that has put sweetness into that cane? If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can put so much of sweetness that from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the day of Qiyamah, we do not know how many billions of tons of sugar will be used. So that Allah, you think He cannot put sweetness of Iman into our hearts? There is a sweetness, there is an enjoyment, there is a taste, there is an ecstasy. You don't need drugs, you don't need any kind of buttons, as they say, to take us to different heights, which damages the body and the soul. In these things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept for us, there is dunya also and akhirat also. We will enjoy the dunya also. I conclude on that one incident which I have mentioned in the majlises. Then my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, I was eating with my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he said, it was dal, simple dal. He says, Hakim Akhtar, mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka maza aa raha hai. He says, how can you be enjoying the taste of biryani in dal? He says, isliye ke mera Allah mujhe khila raha hai. My Allah is feeding me. He says, how can your Allah be feeding you? He says, this hand of mine which I am putting there into the dal and putting it into my mouth, whose hand is behind this hand? So I am getting the taste that my Allah is feeding me all the time. Do we ever get that taste? So he was getting the taste of biryani in his dal, and today we have everything. We get biryani and we do not even get the taste of dal because of our anxieties, our worries, our restlessness, our lack of yaqeen and our faith in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make this month of Ramadan, or make this Ramadan the mother of all Ramadans for us. Let us curtail our worldly activities to the bare minimum and just spend a few days, ayyamun ma'dudat, a few days. Let us spend it correctly, make plenty of tawbah from our sins and turn towards Allah Ta'ala and make dua to Him in abundance, and then see what kind of sukoon and chain and what kind of gardens Allah Ta'ala will give us in our hearts. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين إن شاء الله we'll continue next week.